Welcome to the new and improved Configure It Done podcast. The Configure It Done podcast is now a place where we interview senior thought leaders in the SAP space across Australia and New Zealand, and the aim is to tap into their knowledge so we can pass on their insights to the listening SAP community.
Bethany, you've got a fantastic guest today.
I do. So we have Kevin Campbell, who is the CEO of Sanity, who specialize in data solutions. And they've been incredibly busy with the lead up to S/4HANA transformations across, globally, but especially here across Australia, where I do the most work with Sanity.
So Kevin, I know we've spoken before the podcast. Can you just give us a very short overview for those listeners that haven't come into contact with you or don't know you, but can you just give us a bit of an overview?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, Jay, and of course, Bethany. So Sanity, I always start with reminding people, we used to be called Back Office Associates. So some people still know us by that name. We rebranded 5 years ago to Sanity, which is Synergy and Infinity. The reason we moved away from back office was data is not a back office task, right? And we got tired of people asking if we were an accounting firm. So on the day I became CEO, one of the board members said to me, "Hey, why don't you change the name? Because you all are complaining about it." I said, "Oh, we can't do that because we have this big SAP event coming up in 12 weeks. Well, several of the board members had worked with me before, and they said, "Kevin, we think you can do it," right? So we did it. So you can't pick a word that's already out there that people know, right? Because it's, of course, already used by somebody else. So we made up a word. Synergy is synergy and infinity.
Love it.
The synergy between data and business gives you infinite potential. And so, you know, now we've been quite a recognized brand based on, you know, all of our work with SAP and many systems to SAP or ECC to SAP. But again, we're a software and services company in the data space. And, you know, we like to say we were in data before data was cool.
Love it. Love it. Now, Kevin, I'm going to dive straight into some questions that a lot of our customers would like to know, and the SAP community. Obviously, we recruit in the SAP space and we deal with a lot of candidates and clients. But obviously, there's a huge wave of work that's going to happen, especially in Australia with that move to S4. And we've come to learn that there's kind of two fundamental areas, which is change and data. And then if you get those two things right, your project largely will be a success. So what I'd love to know is, if data is so important, why do these companies ignore that?
You know, it's a question I've dedicated my last 6 years to looking at, because when I met the company and the chairman of our company was my longtime mentor, Bill Green, who was the CEO of Accenture for a long time, great guy. He brought me here. And when I met the company, my reaction is, "Where have you been all my life?" Right? Because I'd done big complex implementations all my life, and the solution we have was so important. And so, you know, I keep asking, you know, why? And here are the objections we get, or here are the things we call them, the myths, right? So we can have a little myth busting session here. Number one is, data can't be that hard. Yes, data is that hard, right? Not if you do it right, but you know what? It's usually 15% of the overall project effort, but I tell our clients it's 100% usually of the reason you don't go live, right? Because the data is not ready. It's also 200% of the reason you don't get the business benefits, right? Because we had this great transformation, this great new system, and I call it, you bought a new Ferrari and then you put old gas in it. And you expect it to run, and it doesn't run, right? So then people come back and say, "Okay, now how can you fix it?" So I think myth number one is, it can't be that hard. Myth number two is, there's other ETL tools, extract, transform, and load tools. ETL tools only take 15% of the migration tasks. So the industry we're in has done a disservice because we've said buy these tools and it'll be an answer, and the tools don't work. Okay. And the third thing is for big companies, right? And that's where Synity focuses, right? We do the hardest data work for the world's largest companies. And, you know, those companies have complexity and it is hard, right? And it requires IT and the business to work together. It's easy for IT to say, business, your job is to clean up the data. And then they say, yeah, okay, thanks guys. How do I clean up the data? Right? Okay, yes, the data is bad. How do I clean it up? Well, you know, the thing with our tools and people are we walk you through the process, right? So we have an 8-step process. We walk you through the process. We have tools and people that can help guide you in the process. We also have partners that we use in the ecosystem that help you with it.
Well, that's perfect. And that brings me to my next question, actually, because what we've found, and I've taken you through this before, Kevin, but last year there was this kind of, at least in Australia, there was this huge sull with S/4HANA. So a lot of customers were really digging their heels in and saying they're not going to do it. They're going to look at other technology. They were frustrated that they have to do it in the first place. And then towards the end of last year, there was this big push towards just getting it approved and getting it done. So at the end of last year, we were predicting it would be really, really busy this year with big S/4HANA transformation programs. So it's like everyone's now on board. And then what we found earlier this year is there's a lot that aren't moving forward because they found that they have a lot of issues with their data. And that's now what's holding them back. Everybody's ready now, you know, board's approving it, but there's issues with data. So with all these programs looming, what's something that you really wish customers understood about their data strategy?
So this is, thanks for that question, because it's my favorite question, right? Which is, if I could tell you one thing, what would that one thing be? And the answer is data first, right? And so the traditional way of doing it has data not addressed until I get all the way into, I've done my design, I've done my user testing, and then I get into integration testing. And that's the first time I use real live data in the system. Well, we're 2/3 of the way through the project at that point. Mm. What we're saying and what we've learned the hard way is put data first. SAP and the S/4HANA target, which, you know, these are what people are going at today, we already have preloaded in our system. So you got to finish the design, you got to do those things, but you can start today. The most successful companies start the data work 9 months before they start the project, wow. Which means all those companies you're talking about need to start now.
So right? Can they do it in tandem, actually? So could we have, say, a team dedicated to the overall strategy and then another team that's working with Synity, for example, on cleaning up the data?
We can. Our preference or our recommendation is start the data stuff first, because it usually is the long pole in the tent. It takes a while to do it, but it is possible, right, that you can do them, you know, in simultaneous with each other. Definitely don't wait. Don't wait until it's user acceptance time, because then you're too late and you're going to end up with the project being delayed because the data problems are going to be more than you thought. The data is going to be worse than you thought, and it's going to take longer.
So what I'm hearing is data is just generally underestimated because data is highly complex and it's left to the last minute because it's thought that it's very simple or maybe doesn't need to be addressed is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's underpowered, I would say, right? So, you know, people say it's not that hard, we'll just power through it. And then they give all the users spreadsheets and say, well, enter the data in the format. You can't do it that way. That's a terrible way to be able to do it, right? It's crazy. Yeah. So you got to address it. You got to bring the right tools to it. And you've got to bring the business and IT together, right? Yes. IT often says, even with systems integrators sometimes, they'll say, well, we'll let the systems integrator handle the data. Well, most systems integrators will say, well, we'll load the data. Yeah, we'll handle the data. We'll load it. Loading is 5% of the process. 5%. So people are walking around thinking, oh, I got data covered, but it's actually 5% of all the steps that you need to cleanse it, to create it, you know, to map it, right? Mm. To go through that process to transform it.
Interesting.
So Kevin, you're obviously the guru with data. You've got a wealth of knowledge. You could probably write, you know, a whole series of books on that. But if I'm a customer and putting yourself in their shoes, and yep. if they could take three tips away from this podcast in preparing their data for their SAP program, what's your top three tips? Like your top three imperatives?
My top three imperatives are: no one ever said they started too early on their data. I've been in this business for 37 years. No one ever said they started too early, never. So start early, right? That's tip number one. Tip number two is understand with business and IT what all the steps in the process are, right? For data cleansing to data migration and then to data governance, map it all out, right? So that you have it. And the third is make sure you have a way to check on progress. It's true with, you know, systems in general, but the old, you know, 80% done, 80% to go is a problem. So if you don't have dashboards that tell you what the actual status is,
yeah,
how can you manage the program? So start data early. Make sure you've got a mapped out process between IT and the business, and they know what has to be there. And then the third thing is, you know, to be, once you've got those two things done, attack it, right, in a comprehensive way from front to back.
It's very similar to like project management, isn't it? When you've got the full scope, the planning, and then stages and reporting back.
Correct. And you know what we like to suggest is that people integrate data into their project management dashboards. Here's where a lot of people mess up, right? Or don't do it as well as they could, right? Which is they know that they, in project management, they should report on the status of data. But what do? They say, finance, how are you doing on data? Finance says, we're doing good, right? And the problem is, doing good doesn't work. It either loads and is business ready or it doesn't. So the point is you got to have dashboards that actually can check up, right? And it's not just a, is it good? It's a dashboard that says, how many fields do we have to fill? How many have we cleansed? Where are we detailed in the process? So you got to get in and drag the details. Data is detailed.
So pardon my ignorance, but does that mean that there's then customers that don't have dashboards sometimes?
Yeah. Yes. Huh. There's lots that have dashboards. There's also lots that go live with low quality data, right? Or some people call it good enough data. It was good enough.
And is when this where, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I said that when good enough data is anything in our experience less than 99.9% data accuracy, right? Because you need to have that level of accuracy. Why do we do these projects? And part of, you know, Bethany, you said before that people were holding back, you know, I don't want to do it. I mean, where they're moving today is they're understanding that they have to do it if they want to get the business benefits. If I'm just upgrading the versions of the software, that's uninteresting to the business. In my CEO role, if somebody came to me and said, all I want to do is upgrade from one version to another, I'd say, who cares? Mm. I want the business benefits, right? I want the business benefits from the results. So if I've got a better supply chain tool, right, then I need to have accurate inventory, planning lead times, all that data needs to be accurate in the system, or it's old gas in the new Ferrari, right? If the data is bad, it's still going to put out bad answers. And now we've got AI. So everybody's getting excited about AI and the promise of the new technology and what AI can help you do. You know what's the number one thing? Data. 80% of all projects, all companies today say our data is not ready for AI, right? Because if I've got garbage on the input, I'm going to get garbage on the output.
So that's very true. I attended a a marketing conference a couple of months ago, and the speaker was showing us how if you use ChatGPT, for example, if you ask it just a very simple question with just a few words, it spits out a response accordingly. But if you can go in there and set everything up, so if I said something like, create a LinkedIn post for me, I'm a recruiter.
Yeah.
It'll spit out something very average. If you say, create a LinkedIn post for me about how candidates can best succeed in interviews and do it with authority, that will boost my brand. If you put all of that in there, then the data, yeah. You know, the data input is higher quality and it spits out something much smarter. That's absolutely correct. So question then, what are some of the common mistakes that you're seeing in the data domain currently? We've covered some of that, but I want to go deeper because I know these mistakes are coming.
Right. Well, I think it's the not starting early enough, not planning the process. And again, I go back to, we have an 8-step methodology that we've used for 20 years. And you know, I tell people, we're not the smartest people. We just made all the mistakes. So we put those back into our methodology so that you get a chance. So learn from other people, right, is the other stuff. And I said before, involve the business. And that's, you know, everybody says involve the business. Well, that means you got to be able to specify to the users what are the steps. So, for example, I map and I say in my old system, or I might have three old systems and I want to move unit of measure from the three old systems into the new system. Which one do I pick of the three old systems? I got to map that rule to be able to do that. And then I've got to say, what are the criteria, right? Because sometimes in an old system, they won't have clean data, right? Yeah. They'll just stick any field and there's no edits. Modern systems, we've learned to put edits in, right? So we're waiting for the edits. Yeah. So those are the examples of, then I run the system, right? So again, we call our, what we call mock loads, right? Which is testing to see how well the data loaded. And again, as I say before, we're not the smartest people in the world. We just know if you do it multiple times, right, you have a higher probability of getting to the 99.9% accuracy than if you just do it once. So that's another piece of it, which is people will try to go live and say, oh, we're just gonna try it once. And then they say, okay, we're out of time, so we're just gonna, it's good enough. And so that's a killer.
So question for you then, and I haven't prepared you for this at all, so if you don't have an answer, that's okay. But one thing that I've seen a lot of the last couple of years is kind of smaller companies that get swept away with like the sales journey with an SI, and then they implement S/4HANA without much preparation, and then everybody's still on spreadsheets and they're really not actually utilizing the thing that they poured so much money into. Now, my assumption has been that that's just all change management. They haven't actually prepared the rest of the business for how to utilize the new technology. But where would maybe data issues come into play with that?
Here's how they come into play. So I'm talking to a manufacturing company, and they had a new supply chain leader. Mm-hmm. And the new supply chain leader came from John Deere, right? So he came from a sophisticated supply chain company, and he comes to this company. They've grown from 400 million to 2 billion over the last 4 years, right? So amazing. He says, okay, the SI, Kevin, help me. The SI is telling me, right, that I need to do design and I need to do change management. And I get all that. But when it comes to the data, they're like, I don't know, what do I do different? And I said, you know what the problem is? Today, what we're trying to do is build so we can be a $5 billion company. Today, all the, where we go around the system, where we use spreadsheets, right, to go around the system, that is all reflected in our data. So if you try to take our data today and put it in the new system, it won't work. So what do? Because they haven't prepared the data and gone through the process, they go back to what they knew. Because see, a spreadsheet doesn't have any edits in it. And it relies on human brain power to say, what do you do next, right? So the human intervenes, and the whole objective of a transformation is to automate this stuff so that we have more things, we can do more things faster, and we can scale the company, right? But if I'm falling 100%. Back to spreadsheets, it's there. So I would tell you, change management is important and getting people covered. But if the data is wrong, all the change management in the world isn't going to help you.
Okay,
that's true.
So Kevin, that's brilliant insight. We're coming towards the end of the podcast, and I know you mentioned before that you want to hire the best people in the world. So after I ask this question, I'm going to let you plug Cinity and why people should be joining a company like Cinity. But before we go into that, one last question from me. And what are the most interesting trends that you're seeing in the data space at the minute?
I think there's a couple of different things that we see. Actually, a lot of it is a return to the fundamentals, which might not be sexy, right? But, you know, and I always say, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to say, we've got data scientists and we're going to dump everything into a data lake. And, you know, that's somehow going to, we're going to use a data fabric and that's all somehow going to be perfect. You got to, what comes back to is you got to get the fundamentals right, right? Mm-hmm. You got to get the blocking and tackling right. And what we're talking about is the blocking and tackling. It may not be sexy, but you don't get to do the all the good stuff and the fun stuff and the AI and all the data science work unless you do the fundamentals. And people have been tried to skip that for years. And so I call the phase we're in now is return to fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And that's why a company like us has had such success lately, because we do the fundamentals. We always say we're the plumbers of data, right? We might not get to be the ones that put the fanciest, you know, new vanity in for you. But you can't use the vanity unless the plumbing's done, right?
And also, believe it or not, that appeals in Australia because plumbers are paid incredibly well here. I don't know if that's changed in the US, but anybody in building altogether, that is a sexy place to be.
Anybody in the trades today, the fundamentals, right? Yeah. Doing the fundamentals, plumbing, electrician is huge. We had a big storm here in Atlanta. It got really cold in December, and 4,500 houses, right? Actually had breaks, and the plumbers were tracking, you know, so water's running everywhere. Plumbers could charge whatever they wanted. Right. And when I finally got one to come to my house to fix our master bathroom, he charged me $850 and he was there for about 15 minutes and it was worth every minute of it. Right. Because I had the water shut off till that happened. So plumbing is important to you.
Absolutely.
So I really enjoyed today, Kevin, some fantastic insights that customers can learn from today. And like I mentioned before, I'd love to learn a little bit more about Cinity and why people should join Cinity before we sign off for today.
So, you know, we have basically, when you look at mission and goals, right? And this is, we're a pure play data company. All we do is data. So what we like to tell people is if you want to perfect your craft at being good at data, right? This is the place. And our mission says we want to be the place where data professionals come to perfect their craft and enhance their career. So we are the place, right? Because you can get to the top of our organization with data. Most other organizations, it's a sideline. It's only part of what you do. It's important to what you do, right? It's there. And the second thing is, we want to be the place where people come for game-changing business benefits. So if you want to do the hardest data work for the biggest companies, this is the place to be, right? So you get to perfect your craft, be respected for what you're doing, and you get to do the most complicated, challenging work. What more could you ask for?
Love it.
Love it.
Kevin, thank you so much for coming on today. You know, I'm not a data specialist at all, and I've learned a lot from you today. So, yeah, really appreciate you coming on, and thank you for your time.
Well, thanks. Thanks for your for having us on. And Bethany, thanks for your partnership. I really enjoy working with you guys in the Australian marketplace.
We enjoy it too.
I always end my weekly to my all of our employees, right, with the best is yet to come. And I would tell you guys and the people in the Australian marketplace, right, the best is yet to come for us.
Love it. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, guys.
Please like, share, comment, and subscribe to the Configure It Done podcast.